This is the sixth installment of Flamenco Today,
a series of podcasts created by Margaret Jova
and José Luis Greco, which are associated with the Spanish Dance and Flamenco Choreography Competition and are available on our website, certamenflamenco.com.
And on my YouTube channel, as well as other podcast platforms.
Our idea is to interview renowned and upcoming performers and choreographers,
as well as musicians and composers of the Spanish dance world.
For this installment, we interviewed Manuel Liñán, a dancer and choreographer in studios in the Teatros del Canal.
So we talked to him about his beginnings, his discovery of his love for flamenco, his first inspiration, and the first exposures he had, especially when he came to Madrid to the studios Amor de Dios.
Pues soy Manuel Liñán, bailador, coreógrafo, y nací en Granada en 1980. Y la primera relación que yo tengo con la danza,
Manuel Liñán, flamenco dancer, choreographer. I was born in Granada in 1980. The earliest relation I have with dance, with flamenco, the first flash, is the image of a female flamenco dancer with a very full skirt. It's one of the first images that seduced me and inspired me to learn how to dance. I was 5 years old, and the school where I studied in Granada, they gave extracurricular flamenco dance classes. So I decided to study. I spoke to my mother, she signed me up, and that's how I began to dance.
Decidí estudiar, hablé con mi madre me apuntó y así es como empecé a bailar.
Me iba yo despidiendo de las amigas que
la maestra que Marichu, mi primera maestra que me enseñaba, habló con mis padres para ir a la academia. Dijo, Cataluña se le da muy bien, yo creo que le va a venir bien que venga a la academia, que estudie todos los días.
My first teacher, Marichu, spoke to my parents about my going to the academy. I think it's going to be good for him to take classes every day at the academy, she said. My family wasn't in a position to afford classes there, but my teacher, a wonderful person, said not to worry. That was not going to be a problem. And those were my first steps with my teacher, María Jesús Ocaña, my first steps as a flamenco dancer. Later, I was able to continue dancing, opening up my circle of influences. I remember great teachers that came through Granada. Very few, though, and only once in a while. In those days, it was difficult to study. But I remember that I took courses with all the teachers that came through, Manolete, Juan Ramírez, Javier Latorre, and I think that's when I began to really grow as a dancer. Regarding my studies, I had the good fortune of beginning to work professionally very early, in a tablao in Granada, in the caves of the Sacro Monte, Los Tarantos. I must have been about 13 or 14.
Con respecto a mis estudios, tuve la suerte de empezar a trabajar muy pronto en un tablao en Granada, en la Cueva del Sacro Monte, en Los Tarantos. Con, yo creo que tendría 13, 14 años. Yo sabía que en Amor de Dios había un montón de maestros.
I knew that in the Amor de Dios studios in Madrid there were a ton of teachers and I could study classical Spanish dance as well as flamenco. It was all happening there. And that, for me, was like paradise. Because in Granada, being so anxious to learn, what I would do was watch the video of artists who appeared on TV, play them in slow motion, and using the pause button, I would study and learn the steps they did. And even today, there is some of the material from those recordings that I still use.
La tengo yo.
Pues empecé en el 97.
I began in 1997 with many artists, with Rafaela Carrasco, La China, with Maestro Ciro, Huito, Manolete, Paco Romero. I remember I came when I was 17, but on the weekends I'd go back to Granada because I didn't even know how to use a washing machine. So Fridays I'd go back, my mom would do my wash, and Sunday back to Madrid, like that so many times, by bus.
Así un montón de veces, en autobús.
Ocho, siete.
We talked about his first professional experiences when he came to Madrid and going to New York.
Rodrigo, un bailador también.
Rodrigo, a dancer from Sevilla, saw me in the classes with La China and said that he was working in Carmen Cortés's company and that they were holding auditions for a male dancer that they were missing. I want her to see you, he said. And that was my first professional work in Madrid, in the company of Carmen Cortés. I was still only 17. That was between September of 97 and May of 98.
Y mayo del 98.
The first tablao I worked in Madrid was the Café de Chinitas, later the Alcazaba. Then I worked with the companies of Manolete and Huito.
La compañía de Huito.
Ocho, siete.
Sí, sí, sí. O sea, con Carlota.
With Carlota Santana, that was before the certamen, because I remember my parents had to sign an authorization so I could go to the States, because I was a minor. That was with Carlota Santana's The Nutcracker. It must have been 1999. Manuel told us about the experiences that were a turning point for him and a whole generation of other young dancers and choreographers, Rafaela Carrasco and others, presenting work for the first time in the certamen.
Y hasta que caigo con, bueno, todavía no era compañía, con Rafaela Carrasco en el año 2002 para el certamen de danza española y flamenco de Madrid.
And that was when I started working with Rafaela Carrasco. It wasn't yet a company in 2002. That was for the Certamen de Coreografía de Danza Española y Flamenco. I was 22 years old. The choreography was Rafaela's. Her ideas were very clear from the word go. Working with her were also Olga Pericet, Daniel Doña, and Concha Jareño. For all of us, it was a watershed moment, a watershed choreography, and to be in it was a privilege. 2002 with Rafaela in the certamen. In 2003, we returned to the certamen as invited guest artists. And in 2004, I presented myself in the certamen as a soloist, which is also the year that Olga Pericet presented herself with Marco Flores. And I won two prizes. One is Outstanding Dancer and the other for Best Solo Choreography, which I think was the first year that prize was given. The truth is that I remember it as an incredible night, prizes I didn't expect. I mean, I was very young, and you presented yourself because you had something to say. I think that from there on in my career became more focused, and I decided to form a company and to embark on a project with Olga Pericet, which included creation, choreography, production, and to propose our own ideas under the name of Cámara Negra.
Hacer un proyecto ya junto a Olga Pericet, y ahí decidimos embarcarnos en el mundo de la producción, de la creatividad, de la coreografía y bueno, y de empezar a proponer nuestras propias inquietudes. Cámara Negra.
De niño me metían piedras en los bolsillos para que no pudiera andar. De niño metían piedras en los bolsillos para que no pudiera andar. De niño, me metían piedras en los bolsillos para que no pudiera andar.
Bueno, pues yo creo que esas piedras son, pues eran piedras artísticas y piedras tradicionales, ¿no? Y piedras de todavía no saber cómo encajar.
I think that those stones were artistic and traditional stones. Stones that represented not yet knowing how to fit into society and the world of art. I feel and think that it was the first time that I got rid of one of those stones because I began to verbalize. I think the fact that the work was recognized was an important step for me to open that rucksack and start to get rid of those stones. Many people remember that phrase that you mentioned, and it's something that moves me. The phrase is, as a child, they put stones in my pockets so that I couldn't walk.
Porque la frase decía, de niño me metían piedras en los bolsillos para que no pudiera andar.
I was also in Teresa Nieto's company with the piece De Cabeza, which was a project in which Olga Pericet, Jesús Caramés, and Daniel Doña also participated. A very interesting project in which she combined Spanish and contemporary dance, and the result was very interesting. As a creator, everything has been an influence for me. With Teresa Nieto, I learned a lot. With Rafaela Carrasco, also. They are two colleagues that have been a big influence on me.
Son dos compañías que me han marcado mucho.
We asked him to explain his feelings about reaching the heights as a choreographer. And also, I asked him personally how he works with music.
Bueno, tuve la suerte que me llamó Antonio Najarro, que ya no sé en qué fecha fue, pero fue para el primer estreno que él hizo como director del Ballet Nacional de España, Ángeles Caídos. Ahí coreografié para...
I had the good fortune of being called by Antonio Najarro, the director of the Ballet Nacional. I don't remember the date, but it was for the first premiere that Najarro had as director of the Ballet Nacional, Ángeles Caídos. I did choreography for that piece. Then I did choreography for the ballet Sorolla, which Antonio Najarro also directed. I did three choreographies for that show. The finale with 35 or 40 dancers, the encierro, and the scene of the pescadores. A great opportunity for me that the Ballet Nacional should call me to choreograph something. And I wanted, as I do always, to be very well prepared. I remember that I came with a tablet on which I had indexed the design of all the movements and steps of each dancer. There were very different scenes, parts of the choreography focusing on one dancer, other parts on another dancer. It was funny because I remember arriving with my tablet and I already knew where each dancer had to be, so I would call out their names, you here, you there, super prepared. Above all, I didn't want to waste time. The sooner I finish, the better, so that later, if I have time, I can make changes if necessary. Of course, working with 40 persons, I wanted to be as prepared as possible. I was also very clear what my tasks were, and I had my ideas very clear beforehand. Of course, in hindsight, one always thinks, oh, I could have changed this or that. But in general, I'm very happy with the result.
Para probar, pero claro, también, o sea, trabajar con 40 personas, tampoco quería yo, o sea, quería tenerlo todo preparado y bueno, también estaba muy planteado lo que yo tenía que hacer y fui un poco como con la idea muy, muy clara. Siempre hay algo que dice, bueno, cuando lo ves con el tiempo, siempre dice, uy, esto no hubiera cambiado, ¿no? Pero en general, contento. Pues lo recuerdo con mucho cariño, lo del Dress to Dance. Además, ¿en qué año fue?
I have very good memories of Dress to Dance. What year was that? 2010? I was dressed in a Tauro costume. That was my first solo idea. I think I danced the Soleares por Bulerías with a cane. An incredible experience. for the place, the space, everything that was shown there, and for having brought together so many dancers to share that wonderful project. It was marvelous.
Eso fue maravilloso. Al principio mis proyectos sobre todo eran inquietudes, pues de cómo movernos en el espacio, de alterar un poco los palos.
At first the problems I felt I had to solve were how to move in space, how to alter the different flamenco rhythms. They were perhaps more technical in nature, how to move four bodies, how to develop music, manipulating the flamenco musical forms so that they wouldn't be absolutely traditional. I think that at the beginning it was a matter of experimenting in more technical areas. But now, for me, choreography is much more linked to the emotional plane and my own personal experiences. So to create, I need to have an emotional stimulus to create a work. I can't just create for the sake of creating. I need that emotional stimulus. I need to express a concrete feeling or personal experience or personal vision I have to be able to create something.
De alguna inquietud concreta o de alguna vivencia personal o de alguna visión personal que yo tenga para poder crear algo. Sí, o sea, digamos que la música acompaña a la emoción o a
The music accompanies the emotion or that which the choreographer proposes. But I'm very open-minded. I explain to the musician the idea, the emotion, because I like that others can propose things, contribute things. That always enriches me. So first I explain the idea, the emotion, what I want to say, and from there the musician begins to propose things. That begins a conversation between choreographer and musician. This yes, maybe this no, or even sometimes yes, that's perfect.
No, pues, o directamente está perfecto.
We talked about his creative process and an internal search looking at his childhood and youth, grappling with his sexuality and the conflicts with his father has been the subject and inspiration for his later works, Viva, Pie de Hierro, and Amor.
Llega todo un poco a la vez. O sea, por ejemplo, para ser más prácticos, en Pie de Hierro, que es como una carta que le escribo a mi padre, un duelo que tengo con mi padre.
Everything starts at the same time. For example, to be more practical, in Pie de Hierro, which is like a letter I'm writing to my father, or a duel I have with him, the solo was divided in four parts. One part was about rage, aggressive feelings, and rebelliousness. For that part, I wanted the music to have a strong, aggressive character, as the choreography demanded. So we worked with an electric guitar, and I explained all these ideas to the composer. I wanted the music to be aggressive, rebellious, and that's why I chose that sound, which to me already expressed those feelings. I wanted to create a sonic space, a composition which would express this aggressiveness, also using the voice. And the end was just the opposite. I wanted to express mourning, an embrace, with my father, a kind of conversation. The word embrace was what guided the creation of this choreography, coming together, the coming into contact, the embrace. So I chose the musical opposite, a violin. A farruca, which was something very intimate for me, so I felt we should do it with only one instrument, a violin. The farruca, which is very connected to the idea of virility, we gave it a twist. I connected it also with the feminine side of my character, with my father's masculine side. It was very significant for me.
Lo debíamos hacer con un instrumento, y fue el violín, a través de una farruca, que siempre es una pieza del flamenco que está conectado mucho con la virilidad. pero le dimos un poco la vuelta, la conecté un poco también con mi parte femenina, pero con la parte masculina de mi padre, y bueno, también era muy significativo para mí, y un poco así, ¿no? Mi padre fue torero.
No.
Sí. Mi padre fue torero. Bueno, él tuvo un accidente de tráfico y quedó inválido, quedó cojo.
My father was a bullfighter, but he had a traffic accident which left him invalid with a limp. This happened before I was born, and he couldn't go on bullfighting. So when I was born, I'm the younger of two siblings, he said, this one's going to be a bullfighter. As a youngster, my father taught me to bullfight. He wanted me to be a bullfighter. Bulls this and bulls that. I ended up hating that world from the beginning. It wasn't that I hated bullfighting, but since it came to me as an obligation, I grew to hate it. I didn't want to hear anything about it. I had already started to dance. My father said, bullfighting had a lot in common with dancing. You stand like this, do such and such. Wear this bullfighter's vest when you dance. It was like a constant persecution. And this piece has a lot to do with that, with that tradition in which the son doesn't want to follow in his father's footsteps, the rebelliousness that says, I don't want to be part of this tradition. But at the same time, I would have liked to do it if only to make him happy. And Pie de Hierro is about that conflict. He is a very traditional person. He's not emotionally equipped to see me dance in drag, in a dress. Before a show, he asks me if I'm going to be wearing a dress. I say, yes, Papa, I'm wearing a dress. And he says, okay, well, today I won't go. He's seen everything else I've done in which I don't wear a dress. In other words, lately he's seen very little. So Pie de Hierro is for me a curative letter addressed to the world of tradition.
Digo, sí, papá, hoy voy con falda. Dice, bueno, pues entonces hoy no voy a ir.
Pero otras cosas sí que ha visto.
Sí. Todo lo que no lleva falda lo ha visto. O sea que últimamente ha visto poco. Y Pie de Hierro para mí es pues una carta de sanación ante el mundo de la tradición, ¿no? Pues Viva también ha sido un paso muy significativo para mí, un gran paso. Viva es una obra donde vamos travestidos.
Y todos.
Y es algo que yo siempre quise hacer.
Viva has also been a very significant step for me. It's a piece in which we are all in drag. It's something I'd wanted to do since I was a kid. I remember that when I went to school to study dance, and I would see, for example, a choreography of Danza del Fuego just for the girls, and I wanted to be the girls. I wanted to be that girl dressed in red that danced, tossing her long hair about. And when I tried to approach those roles, people would laugh. I felt uncomfortable because I didn't understand it. After all, the impulse was an honest one. I sincerely wanted to wear a wig, start doing turns, and play the part of the girl who danced the Danza del Fuego. That happened to me a number of times. And when I realized that society was telling me that I couldn't do that in public, I started questioning myself. Maybe I'm wrong. How do I have to behave? What's going on? Even in my way of dancing. All my teachers, when I began to dance, taught me that men can't move their hands the way women do, that there was a way of dancing for men and another for women. But I simply wanted to have access to the way a woman should move. It's not that I don't like the way a man is supposed to dance. I actually love it. But I wanted to be able to move like a woman too. The way she bends, how she moves her head, her hips, her hands. And when I did it, people would laugh. But I didn't give up. In my room at home, which was very small, I would lock myself in. From my mother's closet, I'd get one of her dresses, one especially which had a very full skirt. I'd put on music, and for a wig, I used pajama pants with an elastic waistband. And once in a while, I'd put on makeup and do the danza del fuego, which I'd wanted to do in public, and move my hands the way I wanted to.
Y allí me encerraba. Mi madre tenía un armario, que por eso me encerraba en aquel cuarto, porque allí yo cogía la falda de mi madre, concretamente una que tenía un montón de vuelo. Me ponía la música, me ponía los pantalones de pijama que tenían gomilla, me los ponía de peluca para tener el pelo largo.
Sí.
Me acuerdo perfectamente. La falda, mi pelo largo. A veces, muy pocas veces, me pude pintar algo así. Y ahí yo bailaba la danza del fuego que yo quería bailar fuera. Movía las manos como yo quería moverla.
Vivo con el aire, vivo con el viento, como las estrellas en el firmamento. Libre somos libres, libre como el viento.
Mis padres, sí, sí, me acompañaban.
My parents showed up for everything I did. We listened to flamenco music at home. In fact, in my father's family, there are singers. I had an aunt who was a singer. We're a family that has always loved art and flamenco.
Aficionada al arte y al flamenco. Iba al Carmen de las Cuevas, que era una escuela en Granada, donde había mucha documentación de artistas, de bailadores.
I used to go to the Carmen de las Cuevas, a school in Granada, where there was a lot of documentary material on artists and dancers. I would go and watch the videos they had stored there, the Ballet Nacional, for example, and many more. One day I put on a tape and I see a woman with a long train dress, if I remember correctly, white with black polka dots, dancing a caracolas with castanets, a fan, and a shawl. It was Milagros Mengíbar. I saw that woman and thought, what a bitch to have been born a man, because I was captivated. And later, thinking and reflecting, I realized that that did not belong to me.
Y pensando, reflexionando, o sea, yo ya, tú ya aceptas que eso no te pertenece.
We continued our conversation with Manuel, talking about his success as a mature choreographer and performer, and how the aforementioned introspection has imbued his art and made him the unique choreographer and performer that he is today.
Que es viva, que para mí significa recuperar ese anhelo de mi infancia, y luego cuando lo hace.
Viva, which is a recuperating of that childhood desire. And then when you actually do it, you think, how ridiculous that putting on a dress should cause such consternation. You see it as ridiculous, but boy, it sure took a lot to achieve it. I didn't expect it. I did it because I had to. I had to recover my childhood, and we didn't know where it would all lead to. Fortunately, we've been going now for 5 years, all over the world. The truth is, I wouldn't have expected this. It's been like a gift. And it continues being a gift, because there's something magical that happens with the audience. Every ovation is overwhelming. We are very moved by the audience's reaction.
Es abrumadora. Nos emocionamos realmente nosotros de cómo reacciona el público.
When I started to choreograph Viva, and I would talk about what we're doing, and that we're in drag and so on, people would laugh and say, but you're crazy.
Vaya está sembrado, me decían.
La mujer,
callarse, callarse.
Pero porque siempre lo he vivido así. Y porque, bueno, yo tengo, desgraciadamente murió mi tío.
I've always experienced it like that. I had an uncle who unfortunately died, who was a transvestite. I saw very close up the comical, good-natured appearance a transvestite has to exhibit to be accepted in this society. That's something I didn't agree with. I don't have to play the fool to be accepted by society. We're here to dance the way we want to dance. Full stop.
Aquí a bailar y punto. La manera que queremos bailar.
We finished our conversation with him talking about his latest work, which he's about to premiere very shortly, called Amor.
Creo que son las relaciones, la necesidad del ser humano en el cariño, en el abrazo.
I think it's a human attribute, the need to be embraced, to be treated with kindness. I think these things have influenced my dancing. Whenever I've been in a relationship, it's affected my dancing in a very significant way. And I'm researching the why of this phenomenon. Or maybe it's a matter of wanting to recuperate those sensations. All of it. Falling in and out of love, how we relate to one another, our needs, the need to feel loved. I consider this all very important because it has very much to do with dance and with the way I dance. As I said, when I've been in a relationship, it has affected my dancing in a very big way. I want to evoke those contexts, relationships that might be carnal or platonic or even religious, how dance can reach a plane of ecstasy when you're in that state.
Esos contextos de relaciones a veces carnales, a veces platónicas, a veces religiosas, cómo el baile ha llegado a una especie de éxtasis cuando tú estás en tu vida en ese estado, ¿no?
De las amigas que te
But I'm going to approach this new work, this choreographic process, in fact I'm already doing so, in a different way. I've never done a research residency, which I did in Torrox. I've always started, as I said before, with very clear ideas. But I've realized that when I've choreographed or directed for others without having made beforehand plans, I've been able to function very well, sometimes even better.
Realmente para mí el certamen fue un antes y un después, de verdad. Y fíjate que fue Olga la que me dio el último empujón, Olga Pericé. Recuerdo que yo estaba en Granada.
The certamen for me was really a watershed moment. And it was Olga Pericé who gave me the final push. I remember I was in Granada and was very good friends with Olga. She and I would always talk about what we wanted to do, new things which we fantasized about. And one day Olga tells me she's going to present herself to the certamen in a piece with Marco. Great, I said. Why don't you present something, she says. Oh, Olga, I don't know. But since we're always talking about what we want to do, just go ahead and present something, she said. I remember the exact situation, me in Granada talking to her from a phone booth, and there were just a few days left to present a project to the certamen, so I said, okay, I'm going to prepare something, make a video of it, see what happens. And so it was.
Para que se cerrara el plazo, digo, venga, vale, voy a preparar la cinta, que era, había que mandar cinta, digo, y la mando, digo, bueno, ya, a ver qué pasa. Y así fue.
Con el pasito tan vacío que llevaba, ay, tú me arrastras, tras, tras.
All the musical excerpts heard on this podcast are from the different shows of the artists interviewed.